God is good. God is wrath. God is just. And in the cross, we see all those attributes melding together at the same time, and yet they're all distinctly there, and yet we can see all of that playing together at the very same moment. In the last few verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the one or another form of the word reconcile appears 5 times. The word reconcile means to change. It speaks of somebody who was an enemy being changed into a friend. And when there are people who are enemies, there's no peace. There's no communion. There's a gap. What you need to do is take care of the problem that is causing that split. You have to remove that problem, and then there can be reconciliation. Then there can be peace. Then there can be harmony. Well, we need to be reconciled to God. And the reason is because God is holy and we are not. God has no sin and we have plenty of sin. So the only way that we can be reconciled is for the problem between us, which is our sin, that has to be dealt with. That has to be removed. We can't do anything about it. There's nothing we can do to get rid of our sin, because if we got rid of these sins, new ones would magically appear, because they're actually oozing out of the very core of our being. So we take them out and they just keep oozing out of us. How do we get rid of that sin? Well, we can't do it, but God did. And he did it through Jesus. How did he do it? Through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I came across the story of this tribal leader of centuries ago who was said to be the greatest leader ever, who was said to be a man of incomparable wisdom, to be a man who was totally just and fair and was committed to the people in his tribe. And he heard some disturbing news that there was thievery going on. Somebody was stealing. And he gathered all his people together and he said how heartbroken he was to see this happening. And nobody would admit to it. And he said, I just want you to know that the punishment for this crime has increased from 10 lashes to 20 lashes. He sent the people away. The stealing continued. Called the people together again, and he told them how heartbroken he was. He told them how this sin was destroying the whole community, because there was no trust anymore. All relationships were breaking down. One person was suspicious of another one and accusing another person, and there was just no harmony and no peace at all in the whole village. So he warned them that the punishment is just going to keep increasing. Well, what happened is that people were continuing to report that things were stolen. He calls them one more time. Again, he pours out his heart and he says, listen, the punishment is going to increase to 40 lashes. We're destroying ourselves. This is serious. Short time later, one of the men in the village came and says they caught the thief. everybody gathered in the village to find out who the thief was. Turns out that it was the king's old, weak mother. She was the one who was stealing. And everybody in the village was wondering, well, what's the chief going to do? What is our leader going to do? As everybody was gathered together, he ordered his mother brought forward by the guards. They took off her robe, exposing her hunched, bony back. He nodded to the guard to get the whip ready, and the guard stood there with the whip. Then the king took off his robe, and he clutched her in his arms, and he signaled for the guard, and the guard started to swing the whip across the king's back, and he got 40 lashes. What a great snapshot of perfect love, of legitimate wrath, and of justice, all taking place at the same moment, so that not one of those attributes is obscured. They're all there in wonderful display. And the result was that peace was restored to the village. The sin had been identified. The sin had been punished. And peace returned to the village. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God in Christ made a wonderful double exchange possible. I remember, he must have done it 100 times while I was in his Sunday school class. Somewhere probably in my single digits, maybe in my early teens, Mr. Venhausen would explain the gospel to us in one way or another just about every week. He is now with the Lord. Wonderful man. He would always explain what Jesus did this way. He would take out his worn wallet out of his pocket and he said, "This is sin. And this is what keeps us from God." And then he said, "Jesus took our sin and we're free from it." We're not only free from that sin, but Christ's righteousness is credited to our account. He takes our sin, he pays for it, and we are free from the penalty of sin. And we are free to live as God's friend. We are free to become, in practice, more righteous, to approach the standing that we already have with God as being righteous. Jesus was sinless. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4:15 says, describes Jesus as one who has been tempted in all things, yet without sin. And when Jesus died, he was being penalized, just like that tribal leader. He was being penalized for the sin of another. I like what Paul says about reconciliation in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." Wow. I can't do that for you. I can't do it for myself. But Jesus can do that. This morning we're going to just reflect on that wonderful work of reconciliation. And these two elements remind us how it happened. Because Jesus took our sin and his righteousness was credited to us. I'll ask the men who are going to serve us this morning, I'll ask them to come forward.